Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Turn to John 16. I still have many things to say to you. Stop right there. That's Jesus. Jesus, the word is not... God's not going to run out of things to say to you. God speaks constantly. It's about us hearing. It's about us listening. How's God going to speak to us? He's going to speak to us through his word. Okay? I'm going to ask you right now, okay? Big pop quiz. How's God going to speak to us? Through his word. All the time. I still have many things to say to you. That's why, but you can't bear them now. And see, this is a key. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. All right? As we walk this out, God speaks to us. And let me tell you, God's voice doesn't change. Our hearing changes. Okay? A few times in the word, you have ears to hear. Hear what the Spirit's saying to you. Our hearing, we develop that hearing. We develop that tone. We hear the tone in God's voice as we read God's word. Often and long enough, okay? However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we back up to verse 12. He said, look, I've got a lot to tell you. I have many things to say to you. Then we go to 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, okay, the Holy Spirit, listen, that's always going to speak God's word. Remember, it's Spirit and truth. It's Spirit and truth. I spoke at a staff meeting today, and God couples up things in our lives to make them powerful and make them pertinent. Okay, one of them is Spirit and truth. Okay, he couples things up. So now it's the Spirit of truth. When he's come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he'll tell you things to come. See, the Spirit of truth, this is before the Holy Spirit came into people's lives, before the day of Pentecost, before the resurrection, okay? This is in that bridge time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Gospels. It bridges us to the new and better covenant. And what he said, the Spirit of truth, when that comes, so it has come, okay? He's going to guide you into all truth. Man, Jesus got a lot to tell you in his word, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide you. So as you read the word, if you just read the word and you're reading it like a novel, and you turn the page, which I've done 1,000 times, I'll read the Bible and I'll turn the page and I'll be like, I just turned the page. What did I just read? Okay, I got to go back and read it again. See, I'm not one, it's not important. I'll just tell you, I've already started. It's not important for me to read through the Bible in a year. And I know to some people that is, and some of you guys do it. And you know what? Have at. I read that Bible all the time. But for me, man, I want to mine those scriptures. I want to get in the word and get in a chapter, get in a passage, get in a verse, and I mean mine it. Get as much out of it as I can. So the Holy Spirit's going to lead and guide you in all truth. Okay? That's what Jesus has to tell you. So if we read the word with that in mind, that look, the Spirit of truth has come. And the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit has invaded my life. See, that's what God does. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Listen, the second chapter of Acts says that the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. Okay? So what that wind's going to do, man, it's going to rush you. And so much so that rushing mighty wind is how they describe what we would describe as a sonic boom. I was in elementary school in Belleville, Illinois. Belleville, Illinois at that time had one of the biggest Air Force bases in the country, Scott Air Force Base. Okay, almost everybody that was in the Air Force came through Scott Air Force Base at that time. Well, we'd be playing out on the playground and all of a sudden we'd hear this shh. Boom! And I mean, it would shake the marrow in your bones. It's like, oh my gosh. And it's a sonic boom. And I think they stopped doing that now over metropolitan areas and over places. But the whole idea, that's how the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit comes to our life. Listen, shh, boom. And the Bible says you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's why your destiny, or the route to your destination, has got to elevate. You feel me on that? Okay, he'll glorify me. That's what he's always going to do. He's always going to glorify. And what does glorify mean? Man, to glorify, he's going to make Jesus much bigger and much badder and much more sensational than anything this world can throw at us. For he'll take of what is mine and declare. Now, this is huge. And he'll declare it to you. He's going to declare what's Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the evil one. Okay? Jesus is not just the namesake of our belief system. He's who we have become. See, you understand that God loves you even through all your crapola, because he sees Jesus in you. So much so, God sees Jesus in you, and all the devil can see is Christ. So you know what? So the devil can look at Scott Houston and he could say, okay, here's what's amazing. He can't see Scott. He just knows Scott's in there somewhere, because all he can see is Christ. So what he's going to do, he's going to try to, and what he's trying to do, he's circling Scott, seeking whom he may devour. He's trying to find a way to get to Scott. And he can if Scott leaves a door open. If Scott doesn't leave a door open, all he's going to do, listen, he's going to throw random, and they are, write that down, random. He's going to throw random shots at him. The Bible calls them fiery darts. Man, he's going to throw them at him because he's like, okay, there are essentially, man, a couple dozen temptations that generally apply to everybody. And that's what he's going to do. Man, he's going to throw these temptations, he's going to throw these accusations at you. But he can't see you. He can't find you. See, there's two things the devil can't do. The devil can't understand your prayer language. You know what's interesting? You can't either. That's why God gives you interpretation of it. Notice, God doesn't transcribe it for you. God doesn't, God interprets it for you. So it's like, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, we pray in the spirit, we pray in an unknown tongue. So as we're praying, it's like, what are you saying? I speak as the Spirit gives me utterance. And then you know what? Man, God's going to interpret it, listen, by his word to you. That's why when you read the word and you're praying in the Spirit at the same time, see, that the whole idea, man, the idea of this, the word becomes first person to you. And that's what we all need. If the word's second or third person, then we're like the seven sons of Sceva, that story you've heard of, that where there's a demon and this demon held these guys captive, and they the seven sons of Sceva come to these guys and they said, hey, we cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. See, it's third person. See, the only way this works is it has to work, our faith has to work in first person. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Everything Jesus has, we have. So now we go back to the very beginning in Genesis. And it's funny, I don't know, but this last year, I've gone to the book, the first chapter and the second chapter of Genesis more than I probably, in the history of all of my speaking, I've probably done it more this year than all of the other years put together. And here I am doing it again tonight. Okay, but 128 in Genesis, then God blessed them, okay? That blessing is still alive in you. So God blessed Adam and Eve, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Now think about this, this is before the fall of man. But guess who's already there? Satan's already there because Satan came as a serpent and tempted Eve. And see, we're all thinking that he came and he tempted Eve and like Adam was somewhere else. You understand? Adam was standing right there. Adam wasn't away from her. See, so that's why when Eve took that fruit and didn't die, that Adam did too. But see, Adam tried to blame it on Eve, and God said, "What have you done?" And he said, "That woman that you gave me." But Adam wasn't fishing somewhere. Adam was right there with her. Okay, then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Do you know, I challenge you to think that if Adam would have stood up as the man of God, created in God's image, that guy that he was, if he'd have stood up and said, "I take authority over you right now, I bind you and I cast you out," you know, the devil would have had to leave the earth. See, the things that we're dealing with right now that are demonically influenced, and that, do you understand that the whole idea, if Adam would have taken his place as a true son of God that he was, there wouldn't have been any Lucifer, devil, Satan. I mean, he never would have died. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth, every creeping thing, everything. That's what he said. But understand that this subduing it thing, I'm not sure we've communicated that well enough to the church. We have to subdue it. When a part of your life gets out of line, you know, how many guys have an issue? How many guys are dealing with something? That just means it's out of line. When that stuff gets out of line in your life, you subdue it. What do? You get it back in line. You get your health back in line. You get your marriage back in line. You get your kids back in line. Oh, my kid's straying. Get your dadgum kid back in line. See, the whole idea of this, why did everything fall in the garden? Because the leader was passive. I'm just telling you, as a pastor of this church, every error I've made, every mistake I've made, anything that I slightly regret was all because I was passive when I should have been leading. Because I'll tell you, I've never heard this. I've never read this. I've read a lot of leadership stuff. If I have read it, I don't recall it. We manage systems and budgets and programs. We don't manage people. And I understand some of you guys have management degrees. Some of you guys have got degrees in higher education that manage people. I don't believe that works. I believe we lead people. We manage all the systems. We manage all the stuff, but we lead people. God's looking for us to be leaders. In order for us to be leaders in our lives, in order in the church, in our communities, for God. I mean, Kevin Stitt went up to his wife and said, "I believe God would have me run for governor." And her first thought was, "That's crazy. What? You got a multi-million dollar mortgage company that you started with $1,500 and a computer. And now it's in 28 states around the country. Now it's in the top 10 mortgage companies in the world, or in the country." And then you know what? Her first thought was, "That's crazy." Her second thought was, "You could do it." See, your first thought might be it's crazy for whatever it is. But we've got a guy right now whose number's in my phone that's the governor of our state. It's crazy. Except it's not. Because we truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Through Christ, through the anointed one, through the deity. As long as we're hidden in Christ, as long as our minds are stayed upon him. See, the Bible talks about us meditating in the word, right? Well, in order for you to meditate in something, you got to think about it a lot. You got to read it. You got to repetitiously read it. But we've got to subdue the enemies of our lives, subdue them. That's what the Bible says. Go back to Genesis 1:28. And then subdue them and then have dominion. See, we're thinking, "Well, I've got dominion. It's just all going to work out." No, you know what we've got to do? We've got to be fruitful. We got to multiply. It starts with fruitfulness. And let me tell you what fruitfulness is To us, it's faithfulness. Faithfulness isn't showing up. Faithfulness is showing up with massive amount of fruit. That's what it is. Man, you don't go to church here and allow Sandy and I to lead you as pastors because we're here, because we show up. No, we better be bearing dadgum fruit. That's why I called those three guys up here today. I didn't plan on doing that. Man, it wasn't in the service order. Nobody knew I was going to do it. Those three people didn't know I was going to do it. I'm just hoping Nikki didn't slide out the back door and go to Dairy Queen or something. She came running in here. Oh, my gosh, what have I done now? No, I want to make an announcement. She was an intern here. Then she was a graduate assistant here. Let me tell you, the way she sings, every synapse in my being was tempted to just give her a staff position, skip some steps, pamper her, make sure she's on the stage and she's happy. Let's keep her happy. No, you know what it is? No, let's run the traps. Let's put her through the paces. Let's get the culture in her. Man, the culture's in her now. Man, I don't know if you guys were here in the last song. How many of you guys were here in the last song? Man, she led. I feel like singing when I came in here. I'm singing my head off. I'm looking at the crowd. Everybody here's got their hands up. And you know what? A third of the people in here, ask them why they have their hands up. I don't know. Everybody else does. I don't know. I'm just fired up. Sandy and I went to an AC/DC concert a few years ago. It was 2 hours and 45 minutes of everybody in the room going like this. No, I'm not kidding you. 2 hours and 45 minutes. The last hour, guess what I was doing? See, it's a culture. Man, we get caught up in things like, what are you doing? I'm raising my hands. How come? I don't know, but it's awesome. It's amazing. And then we find out, let me tell you, scripturally, why we raise our hands. Because the Bible says lifting holy hands. Some of you guys, I've got an outside guess that maybe your hands aren't that holy. Maybe there's some mischief on those hands. Maybe there's some funkiness on those hands. But you know what? You lift them, what do they become? Holy hands. Well, it's surrender. Well, it's victory. Yeah, I get all that. But what the Bible says is we lift holy hands. Man, we got to subdue it. What are you dealing with? Subdue it. Man, you have that authority. Not that kind of authority. You've got the same authority Jesus has. The reason you're here, the reason the church even exists is because, man, we're hoping that we can make Jesus the Lord of our lives and that authority will be around us then so we can, man, God, what are you going to do about this situation? No, that's how most people think. I'm just waiting for God to heal me. That's not what the Bible says. That is not faith. Are you listening to me? That's not faith. Faith is God's healed me. Well, what's the doctor say? You know what? He might have a contrary report. But the truth is, the facts are, I've got symptoms. The facts are, I've got sickness or I've got disease. The truth is, by whose stripes I was healed. Notice that in Isaiah 53, it says you are healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says you were healed. Notice the new and better covenant, every promise of God's in past tense. And you're thinking, well, wait a minute. You mean those yahoos riding wheelies when they go by us on the Broken Expressway in front of the church, they don't know Jesus from a hole in the wall, they're healed too? Yeah, they just don't know it. That's why you come in here. You grab a hold of the promise. You've got to catch it. It's got to become yours. You have the authority. And I believe this. I believe God intended man to rule the earth. You know what's sacred about the earth? You're here. You know, people saying Mother Earth. Bible didn't say that. The reason the earth is sacred is because you're on it. Because Adam had a lease. That's what God essentially did. And in Mark, the 12th chapter, it completely identifies it and describes this lease. But Adam had a lease on the planet, and then he relinquished it to Satan. That's what he did by accepting the temptation. And Jesus completely redeemed us and bought that lease back for us. Really, for God in us. And it's in equal measure. See, Jesus went to that cross with God in mind and with me in mind. In Galatians 3:13, Paul writes and says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, the curse of the law, and you could write this down preferably, or you could take a picture. The curse of the law is made up of three distinct things: poverty, sickness, and death. Okay? Poverty, sickness, and death. What you're looking at here, and let me tell you, poverty isn't not enough. Poverty is just enough. Poverty is, I love what Hunter said Sunday. God's not living paycheck to paycheck. God's not living month to month. God's not living hand to mouth. So guess what? We aren't either. The only reason you are is because that's poverty. And poverty is a curse. This all has to submit to you in Jesus' name. Listen, in accordance to how you subdue it. It's not just going to go because you love God. I think the devil tries to make it more difficult when you love God. Man, you think about it. It's poverty, sickness, and death. You have to subdue it. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue it, take dominion. Matthew 6:9-10, Jesus said, man, here's how you pray. Here's how you pray about poverty, sickness, and death. This is the sum total of everything that all of us are dealing with. Ends up in one of those three categories. And I'll tell you what death is death is fear. It paralyzes you. Death paralyzes you. When you die, you don't move. Well, that's what fear does to you. See, so these three things, Jesus said, okay, you want to deal with these three things? Here's how you deal with it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're the priority, God. Your kingdom has come. Your way of doing things has come. Do you believe God's way of doing things has come? Yes. Your kingdom's come. Your will is done. See, some of you guys grew up in churches where those were requests. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom... Please send your kingdom, that your will be done. No, his kingdom has come. And what you've got to do is profess his will is done. Everybody say his will is done in my life. Say it again. His will is done in my life. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the key. If it's in heaven, you accept it and receive it on earth. If it's not, you reject it. But how you reject it is you've got to subdue it. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent taketh by force. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. When you think about your finances and your resources and your livelihood, are you thinking poverty or are you thinking abundance? Let me tell you what, if you can read in the Word, what does the Bible say the poor inherit? The earth. If you're inheriting the earth, you're not po no mo. See, God turns all that around. God's turning things around for you guys that can receive this. You got to catch it. You got to grab a hold of it. You might have to listen to this again. You might have to go through these verses again. Man, you might have to go to Mark, the 12th chapter, and read about the lease. Man, I don't have time to get into it tonight. Some of this you've got to dig on your own. Yeah, read through the Bible in a year. But dig. Man, if something catches your eye, there's a reason. If something jumps out at you, there's a reason. That reason is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that leads and guides you, that reminds you of everything Jesus said and shows you things you didn't know. Man, there's things around the corner the Holy Spirit's going to warn you of. And when the Holy Spirit warns you, the Holy Spirit arms you. Everybody say, I'm forewarned and forearmed. See, nothing can overtake you. But what you've got to do is you've got to be fruitful. You've got to multiply. You've got to subdue it. It's according to the power that works in you. Eye hasn't seen nor heard nor has entered the heart of man the great things that God has for those who love him, called according to his purpose, according to the power that works in you, in me, in us. There's a power in us. And you know what? It's all 100%, 1,000% verbal. You believe and you speak. 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 Oh, I don't know if it's going to work out. Why do you say that? Because that's what you believe. Guess what? That's what you have. Man, when you see something that appears like it's not going to work out, the word's got to come out of your mouth. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. This looks bad, but it's a part of the all things. So it's going to work out. It's going to work out. How's it going to work out? That's not my business. Mine is to trust God. Everybody say, mine is to trust God. I'm trusting God. No matter what I see, no matter how I feel, I'm trusting God. No matter what my circumstances are, no matter what my situation is, I'm trusting God. I subdue my enemies. I take authority right now over every bit. Now listen, if you've got something tonight that has to do with poverty, sickness, or death that's trying to occupy your life, I want you to stand as we say this. I'm believing God for things to turn around for you tonight. A big night for you tonight. Whatever it is you're standing, I'm telling you, I'm going to make covenant with you tonight. And I'll stand in agreement, but I'm going to go to war about that thing. You with me on that? He and I are going to go to war with you. A threefold cord isn't easily broken. God, I thank you right now. Whatever it is, whatever reason he's standing, God, I thank you that the chains and the binds have to come off of him. God, I thank you that your glory come into his life and change everything. God, he keeps his mind on you. He trusts you, God. And God, I speak to that mountain to be removed, to be cast into the sea. And we don't receive any doubt in our heart. And we have whatever we say. Get with me. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. God, I thank you now that that issue in my life, whether it's poverty, sickness, or death, I subdue it right now in Jesus' name. My faith, my trust is a force. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Devil, you've got to go now. I command you to dry place, to seek rest, and to find none in the name of Jesus. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm hidden in Christ. The risen one lives on the inside of me. Devil, I put you down right now. I command you out of my life, out of my situation, out of my finances, out of my hunger, out of my appetite, out of everything in my life. I command you out right now, and you got to go. I submit myself to God. I resist the devil, so he's got to flee. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. God, I thank you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is Lord of my life and whom I trust. I am hidden in, I am baptized in, I live for, and I live in. I live through the greater one of Israel, Jesus Christ. God, you have complete and utter authority in my life as I speak your truth. I'm not talking about how I feel anymore, God, or what I see anymore, God. I'm talking about what you say, God. Your words are my words. Therefore, my words are your words. I win, God. I choose now to subdue this enemy in Jesus' name. Amen.